Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
All right, take your Bibles to the book of Joshua this morning, the book of Joshua, chapter number 1. Joshua, chapter number 1. And I just want to share thought that the Lord's laid on our heart. Talk to you a little bit this morning about getting ready. Getting ready. That's what I want to talk to you about. If the Lord would help us for just a few moments. And then I understand that somebody's going to take us out to eat, so I ain't going to preach too long. Amen. We'll make it quick. I'm going to set my watch here so we know. Amen. We'll be out of here early. All right, Joshua chapter number 1. And we'll look at verse number 16 and verse number 17, and then I'll try to pull this together for you today, and I believe it's what the Lord would have us talk to you about. The Bible says, "They answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us, we will do. Whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses." Now, you know what's taking place here in this passage of Scripture is the Lord is about to take the nation of Israel to a new level. They're about to go somewhere they've never been before. Moses has passed off the scene, and God has raised up Joshua to take them to the next level. And so I want to preach for just a few minutes, if the Lord would help me on this thought, get ready. Get ready. And I believe in these hours that sometimes if we're not careful, we can get complacent in the midst of God doing great things easier than any other place in life. Would y'all agree with that? When God's doing great things, it's easy to get complacent and comfortable where we are. And that also can go into other parts of life. When you're successful in life, in general, those times of success is often where you and I get complacent and we kind of get stagnant in our lives. And so I want to try to help you a few things. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we love you this morning. God, we thank you for the privilege to be in church. God, we thank you for the privilege to stand and open the Word of God for a few moments. God, I pray that you would illuminate my heart and mind and give me exactly what I need to help your people this morning. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for what they mean to our heart. We thank you for the prayers that they have prayed, Lord, over the past month or so. God, for me and Miss Amanda and all those that have been affected in Western North Carolina, we thank you for them. God, we know that they have labored in prayer and love, God, for us, and I thank you. God, touch now, and I pray that everything that's said will be in accordance with your will, and God, we wouldn't say or do anything that would grieve or quench you. I pray for Brother Barker this morning, you touch him. God, as he's preaching, probably even now, I pray you'd fill him and use him and anoint him. God, we thank you for this time and this opportunity, and for what's accomplished, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And so this passage of Scripture is a very interesting. The nation of Israel is fixing to move on to a new place in their life. And can I say to you that we know as individuals, any time that God moves us to a new place in our lives, it can be scary. It can be a little bit uneasy to move to a new level in our lives. All of us are very good at becoming comfortable with a routine. Amen. I like a routine. I don't like a whole lot of change. I'm so routine that it's almost ridiculous. Amen. I'll get up and I'll go through my day, and if things change within my regular routine, it gets me all messed up. But what we've got to understand is God is not interested in us staying where we are, but continually advancing for the cause of Christ. And so we see here in our text, this morning that the people of God here have submitted to lordship. They have submitted to lordship. The Bible said they answered Joshua saying, "All that thou commandest us, we will do, and whatsoever thou, wheresoever thou sendest us, we will go." They have submitted to lordship, but then they made themselves subject to leadership. The Bible said in verse 17, "According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee." And so when we see this, we understand that they have submitted themselves to lordship, and they have become subject to leadership. The greatest leaders are always good followers. Amen. And so if you want to be a leader within the work of God, if you are a leader, you've got to understand the importance of submitting or becoming subject to leadership. Amen. And I'm thankful for the leadership that God has allowed me to have throughout my life, the people that God's put in my path to show me how I need to act in order to be a leader and in order to get to the next level. There's some things we've got to do to get ready. Amen. Now we understand that. That's very simple here in the verses that I've read to you. But we find over in Deuteronomy chapter number 1 and verse 6, you don't have to turn, I'll read it to you. The Bible said, "The Lord, talking to the nation of Israel, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount." So there was a specific word for the nation of Israel to move from where they were. You've been here long enough. We've got to understand that we cannot get comfortable where we are. We've got to always be looking at the horizon. And what is it that God has that is next for us? Now, as I look around this morning at Amazing Grace Baptist Church, my goodness, what God has done here. He has grown the congregation. He has done great things through giving you such a beautiful facility. And God's just done a lot here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. And if you're not careful, you'll think that you are on the horizon when the horizon is still out in front of you. Don't get comfortable where you are. He said in Deuteronomy 1 and verse number 6, "You've been here long enough." He said, "Turn you and take your journey and go to the Mount of the Amorites, and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, in the vale, and in the south, and in and by the seaside, the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates." You want to know what he was telling the nation of Israel? It's time to move on. It's time to go and do something that you've never done before. This morning, I believe, as sure as I'm standing here, that the days the best days are not the days that are behind us, but I'm fully convinced that the best days are ahead of us if we will allow God to show us what's available and move towards that for His glory. I believe that the best days are ahead. You say, "Preacher, don't you understand what's going on in politics? Don't you understand what's going to go on Tuesday? I mean, it might get real crazy and it could go really bad, and things could happen that just turn our world upside." Hey, listen, we're not serving Washington this morning, but we're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And can I just encourage you today to say that the best days aren't behind us, but they're ahead of us. The best days for the child of God, the best days for Amazing Grace are ahead of you. And don't lose sight of the reality that God is able to do tomorrow what He's done before, and He's able to do great and mighty things that you and I cannot even fathom or understand. It will just look forward at the horizon and chase the dream that God would have for each one of us. So I'm going to give you a few things. I'll be done. First off, I want you to understand we need to get ready. It's time to prepare. The nation of Israel here in this passage of Scripture, they had to get ready for what was fixing to happen. They could not walk into or step into, I should say, the next level without preparing themselves. It takes intentionality. If you are going to be a next level Christian, you are going to have to be intentional about your walk with God. How many of you, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but just ask yourself this question and answer it for me. How many of you know what it's like to be an unintentional Christian? I'll raise my hand. An unintentional Christian. Well, I just think it'll happen to me. And sometimes it does, and it's easy, but that ain't all the time. All the time being a Christian don't just happen to you. You got to be intentional about it. And it takes some preparation and it takes some work on your part in order to get there. And so we need to get ready. It's time to prepare. The Bible says in verse number 11 of Joshua chapter number 1, look at what he said. The Bible said, pass through the host and command the people saying, prepare you victuals. Now this is interesting to me. And I'll tell you why it's interesting that he says prepare you victuals. Because up until this point, what's been taking place in the nation of Israel? There's been food falling out of the sky. Amen? God has been providing their every need. He's been allowing bread and quail to just fall into their lap. Their walk with God was just happening. But on this day, as they are preparing to go to the next level, here's what they had to do. Prepare you victuals. So what they had to do to get to the next level was they had to put some work in. They had to prepare themselves. They had to become satisfied with what was available and what God was giving. Hey, listen to me this morning. It is not good enough to live on what you get on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night if you're going to get to the next level. It's not good enough just to come into the sanctuary and soak up what falls from heaven in your lap. Now, I thank God for that. That is wonderful. I bless His name. But it's not enough if you're going to be a next level Christian. You've got to prepare yourself vituals. That means when you go home after Sunday church, that you don't just kick your feet up and watch the news. Amen. You don't just kick your feet up and watch your favorite show. I'm not against all of that kind of stuff. But you got to understand that in order to be a next level Christian, it's going to take some intentionality and it's going to take you doing something that you don't normally do to get there. And he said, you need to prepare, you need to suffice yourself is what he tells them. The Bible says this in Psalms 34 and verse number 8. He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He said, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Now, we all know that passage of Scripture very well. And it's kind of a twofold passage in our Bible. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And then he says, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Those two things go together. You will never taste and see the goodness of God without being able to trust him. You've got to be able to trust him, or you'll never get to taste and see that he is good. You've got to trust him. And so I thought about it like this. Me and Amanda was preaching up in, well, she wasn't preaching, I was preaching. But we were up in Bryson City. She's a good preacher, y'all. She's good. She's better than I am. But she wasn't preaching, I was. And we was up in Bryson City. And somebody had told us about a little bakery. And they said this bakery in Bryson City, North Carolina is just phenomenal. We had heard about it. We got on Google and we read about it. And we looked at the pictures of the sticky buns that they had. And it was just, I mean, it'd make your mouth water. We didn't know what it tasted like. We just heard. Well, on that day after I got done preaching that morning, we said, let's go up there to the bakery. So we rode up there to the bakery. And we walked in there and we saw the big sticky bun that everybody had talked about and had reviewed on Google. And we bought one and we put it in our mouth and we tasted what everybody else had been telling us about. And it was totally different. I'm afraid this morning that a lot of our Christian lives are absent of the taste. We only know what Google's told us. Is that making sense to you? We only know what we've been told by everybody else. We've never truly experienced because we've never trusted the way that we need to. And I'll tell you what robs us of trusting God the way that we need to get to the next level is the fact that we don't need a whole lot.
We've been blessed with so much. We don't need a whole lot. And so we don't have to really trust that much. And when we don't trust that much, we don't get to experience the goodness of what God is able to do in our lives. And we live our lives unintentional. And we never get to the next level because we never prepared ourselves. We never got ready. Just over the past month or so, y'all know what's happened in Western North Carolina. Y'all have sent a bunch of supplies up. Y'all been in the church, and your pastor's been very engaged in everything that's taken place up there as far as the disaster and the relief efforts and all that good stuff. But I'll tell you something that really happened to me and a lot of other folk up there is we realized how trivial the material things of life truly are. And when you go 4 days without bathing, oh my goodness, y'all. And the only reason we got a bath after 4 days is somebody got power a county over and we went to their house and said, we're showering, y'all. Some of you ladies wouldn't make it. And most of us wouldn't want you to try 4 days. You don't have power. We was 18, 19 days, something like that. Well, no power. Me and Miss Amanda had prepared. We stayed pretty prepared for anything. She cans a lot of food and really just for fun. But we were prepared when it hit. We were like, hey, we don't even need to go to the grocery store. We're good. But it was still tough. And there's a lot of people that had it a whole lot worse than we did. Obviously, some lost almost all their family. But it just brought the reality into play of how trivial the things that we make a big deal out of every day. And the reality that you and I, people, are really the only thing that truly matters. What we do for the Lord and what we do for other people is really the only things that matter, y'all. And we get so mixed up in the cars we drive, and I like nice things. We get so mixed up. And I saw people with million-dollar homes just destroyed by trees, just completely destroyed everything they had worked their whole life for. Houses flooded and taken down the river and completely gone and annihilated. There was no insurance because they didn't have flood insurance. They lost everything they had ever worked for. But you know what they were thankful for? The fact they were alive and they had somebody beside them that they loved that was alive. The reality is this morning that if we're going to be a next level Christian, we've got to prepare for ourselves spiritually and invest in other people, because that's all that matters at the end of the day. When the storm strikes and everything you've ever worked for is gone, you realize a lot of different things and perspectives that come along with that. So we want to be a next level church. We want to be a next level Christian, next level person. If we're going to do that, we got to get ready, and it's time to prepare. But then not only do we see that we need to become satisfied, suffice yourself, prepare you victuals. Don't just depend on what's falling from heaven in your lap, but then we need to sanctify ourselves. He told them in verse number 5 of Joshua chapter number 3, he said, Joshua said unto them, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Getting ready means that you need to make sure there's nothing between you and anybody else. Sanctify yourself. Examine yourself and say, Lord, what is it? Is there anything in my life that I need to fix? Husbands and wives, you should talk to each other and say, honey, is there anything that we need to get right, or we need to fix, or we need to clean up, or we need to change? Is there anything that you can think of and that I can think of? And if so, let's work on it. He said, it's time to sanctify yourself. Get ready. It's time to prepare. I wonder how long it's been since we, and I've been asking myself this question, since God has specifically dealt with me about something that I needed to change. It may not be a sin that's in your life. It may not be something that you're like, well, this is obvious. If somebody else knew about it, they'd say, hey, you need to clean that up and fix it. I'm not talking about that necessarily. What I'm talking about is just something that you know would make you better because God's put his finger on it. And you said, Lord, I want to be a next level Christian So I'm going to address that. I want you to help me. Couples, husbands, wives, what is it that you and your spouse or someone close to you could come together and say, hey, what is it we can do to be a better person for Jesus? Is there anything you can think of? It's time to prepare. But then I would say this, not only get ready, it's time to prepare, but I would say this to you this morning, church, get ready, things are possible. Get ready, things are possible. When you started the building program here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church a few years ago, how long has it been now? A couple years? If I was to ask you to raise your hand, who in here thought, man, our preacher is crazy. I don't know how this is going to work. Some of y'all would raise your hand. I know you would. Because when you stand back and look at a project like y'all completed, it is stressful. Get ready, things are possible. Nobody, there's probably folk in here this morning that didn't think you'd be sitting where you're sitting today in the facility God's blessed you with the growth that you've seen. You just didn't see it possible in your human, finite mind. But this morning, get ready, things are possible. He told them, there's one thing that you need to understand. In Joshua 2 and verse number 1, he said, you need to go view the land, even Jericho. You want to know what Joshua was telling the people? He said, you need to see what's available. You need to see what's available. It's good this morning that your pastor has a vision and that he's a visionary. But can I say this morning, you should pray and ask God to make you a visionary church member. I say, God, would you give me a vision that would line up with my leader's vision so we could see the impossible come to pass? Pray and ask God to give you a vision. Things are available. God, let me view what is available. Let me see the walls of Jericho that you're going to remove for the people of God. Let me see the mountains that you're going to cast into the sea. Can I say, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. I'm glad this morning I can report to you that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The Lord said in Mark 10 and verse 27, the Bible said Jesus looked upon them and he saith, with men it's impossible. And that's the truth. That's a true statement. But he didn't stop there. For with God all things are possible. Mark 9 and verse 23, Jesus saith unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. My goodness. Brother Elijah, I don't know what your vision is for the place that God's put you here, but can I just say this morning that it's possible? It's possible. Jeremiah 32 and verse 17, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Romans 8 and verse 31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Job said in Job 42 and verse 2, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. It's good to believe that things are possible for the preacher. It's good to believe that things are possible for the deacons and the trustees. It's good to believe that things are possible for the one sitting next to you or across the aisle from you. But this morning, I want to encourage you to say that things are possible for you. Things are possible for you to experience in the realm of impossible through the power of God. He can take you to the next level if you'll just get ready and understand, my friend, that there is stuff available for the child of God beyond your wildest dream. The Bible says this in Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. So that's beyond our imagination, according to the power that worketh in us. But as it is written, 2 Corinthians, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, how many of you have always heard that? And maybe not here, but I know a lot of my life, I've heard that passage of Scripture talked about in the light of heaven. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, right? What God's prepared. But when you read that text in 1 Corinthians within its context, you'll understand that he's not talking about heaven there. He's talking about all that God has prepared for you individually as you follow the leadership of Christ in your life. As you follow the wisdom that God would shine into your heart and you would follow the will of God and the ways of God. It is unfathomable what God has prepared for you if you'll do that. That's what he's dealing with. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard. And it's not even entered into the heart of man what God's prepared for you if you will get ready and understand things are possible. Get ready. It's time to prepare. Get ready. Things are possible. But then I would say this to you this morning. Get ready and trust in his plan. Get ready and trust in his plan. Joshua chapter number 3 and verse number 1, the Bible says that Joshua rose up early. And the Bible teaches that he removes himself and he came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. Now I want you to notice that there is a togetherness with this group of people. And there is a unity that brings them to the place of preparing for the next level. Amazing Grace Baptist Church and every other church that's trying to do the will of God will never experience the next level without complete unity. You say, preacher, is complete unity possible? Absolutely, but not in the flesh. It is only possible through the Spirit of God. But complete unity is key to the next level. His plan, get ready, trust God's plan. His plan is situational. You're going to have to be somewhere in order to get somewhere. Does that make sense to you this morning? I'm not trying to give you a bunch of word salad. I'm just trying to help you make sense of what I'm trying to say. You, in order to get somewhere, you got to be somewhere. His plan is situational. You need to be in the right place to experience the next level in your walk with the Lord and in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But his plan is very specific. The Bible said in chapter number 3 and verse number 2, it came to pass after 3 days. And then in verse number 3, the Bible said, when we see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priest, the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. His plan is very specific. Can I say this to you this morning? His plan is not confusing. Doing what God wants in your life is simple. It's easy. And it is very specific. And I tell you, all you got to do is open this Bible. You don't need a doctorate's degree. You don't need a high level of education. You just open the Bible with an open heart and say, Lord, whatever I find in here that I feel like you want me to do, I'm going to do it. I want you to give me wisdom in doing it, and I want you to help me to understand it, and I'm going to do it with your help to the best of my ability. And I'll tell you what will happen is you'll go through your life and you'll look back at step after step, level after level that God takes you and he begins to mold you and make you and bring you to be the person that he has foreordained you to be as a Christian. Simple. It's really simple. But his plan is specific. You need to be in your right place, in the right place. And you need to be in unity. And you need to do what God says to do. But his plan is sensible. Now it's specific and it is situational. You need to be in the right place. But it's sensible. Here's what the Bible says in verse number 4, chapter number 3 of Joshua. The Bible says this: for there shall be a space between you and it. Talking about the ark. About 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. Then he makes this statement to the nation of Israel. He said, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Here's why God's plan makes sense. God's plan makes sense because where you're going, you've never been. But He has. And so God's plan makes sense this morning, brother, because the next level I've never got to experience. But the one that's taking me there already knows how to get there, and He knows the way. And so it just makes sense to trust His plan, because I've never been there before, and this is a new place for me. Can I say to you this morning, church, that God has a new place for each one of you. God has a new place for this church. God has a new level to move to. You say, preacher, do you not see what all God has done? Do you not see how wonderful things are? I understand that. But can I say, don't get complacent. There's another level. There's more to do. There's more to accomplish, and you've never been there before. You've never been there before. But He has. And He wants to take you. And so His plan is sensible. Just makes sense. If I'm going to follow someone, if I'm going to follow a leader, I want to follow somebody that has been where we're going. Now, I've followed some people before that hadn't been where they were going. Y'all ever done that? I've been on some hikes in the mountains with people that thought they knew what they were doing, but they didn't. They didn't know where they were going, and they had never been there before. But they knew it all. That's the person you want to stay away from. You end up in the woods for a really long time not knowing where you're at. But if I'm going to follow somebody, if I'm going to build a house, I'm not a builder. But if I'm going to build a house, I want to find a good carpenter. Because he's been there before. If I'm going to work on a car and I'm not a mechanic, I want to find me somebody that knows how to work on cars. And I want to get as close to them as I can. And I want to watch them, and I want to learn from them, and I want them to show me things. And that's what the Lord's trying to help us understand this morning, is it's only simple, sensible to follow God's plan, because He's already been there, and you've not been there. But we're going to go there together, amen. I'm thankful to report to you this morning that we can trust His plan. If you're going to taste and see that He's good, you got to trust Him. You got to trust Him. Get ready. It's time to prepare. Get ready. Things are possible. Get ready, trust His plan. And then I'm done with this morning. Get ready together for progress. All across our country, and especially in the Bible Belt, and it's sad to see, but churches are struggling. One of the greatest, I guess, hindrances to the church of today is division. We see division in our country. We see division in our homes. We see division in our churches. We see division in families collectively. And it's heartbreaking. That's one of the greatest tools, I believe, of the enemy in this hour is division. And if you're not careful, you'll get caught up in it, because all society wants to push down our throat is the division, the divisiveness of the world. And if we're not careful, we'll allow it to creep in to what we're trying to do for Christ. Get ready together for progress. The Bible said in Joshua 3 and verse number 1, that he and all the children of Israel, they came together and they lodged there before they passed over. When you look back at the nation of Israel and what they experienced as a nation from the time that God delivered them out of the land of Egypt, the time they spent in the wilderness, and then this transitional time that they moved to a new level as they go in to possess the promised land. When you look at those times throughout the nation of Israel's history, I don't believe you can find a more united time than right here as they're getting ready to go possess God's promises. Unity this morning is of utmost importance. Time is way too short for us to be worried about stupidity, about foolishness. It's just too short. It's too short for us to look across the aisle and say, you know, I don't really like what he's doing. I don't really like the way he's doing that. You know, I don't like that song they sang. Just petty stuff. Time's too short, man. Our life is just a vapor. We ain't here long. Let's love each other with all of our heart. Let's allow God to unite us through the blood of Christ. We're all family. And let's just press toward a new level for Christ. They were all together, all of them. They were all in the right position. They were all in the right place. They were all in the right position. The Bible said when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, in verse 14 through 17 of Joshua 3, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, they were all in the right position. They all got behind the ark. And they all experienced the power together. The Bible says that they came up to the Jordan when it was overflowing its banks. And the Bible teaches us in this story that as soon as the priest's toes touched the water, the Jordan River stood up and the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. That wasn't the first time that some of those people had experienced that. Some of those people knew what it was like to see God do that. But in this group of people moving into the promised land, there was a large number that had never seen that with their eyes. They heard mom and dad talk about the Lord parting the Red Sea, how Pharaoh's armies were going to destroy them, but God parted the Red Sea, and they walked across on dry land, and God gave great victory. They'd heard about it, but they'd never seen it. There's people in this room, there's young people in this room that have not experienced what some of you older Christians have experienced in your life. They hear about you testifying of it. They hear about the stories of what God did before. And in a few years, it'll be the same. There'll be youngins that grow up in this church. They never knew about the old sanctuary. This will be home to them. And they'll hear you tell the story of how God orchestrated all the wonderful things that came about to see what we see and hear this morning. But they'll only just hear about it. They won't see it firsthand unless you, as the generation leading them, seeks God for the next level and allows God to continue to grow the work and the ministry of this church. And so they can stand back one day and say, yes, I heard mom and dad talk about God parting the Red Sea, but today I got to see him do it with my own eyes. And see, the problem this morning is for some of us is we're hesitant because we haven't seen some of these things with our own eyes. We lack in trust because we've not seen some of the things that we've heard the stories of. But I'm just here to encourage you this morning and say, get ready. It's possible. There's a new level, and you can experience it. Sister's coming to the piano this morning. I'm done. I don't know where you are in your life, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, financially, whatever. I don't know where you are in your life, but I can tell you of a surety this morning that if you will trust him and you will sanctify yourself and you'll become satisfied with him, he'll do things in your life that can only be described as a miracle. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. I've been there. I understand. I understand you having a hard time believing that God is able to do this. Impossible. But what I want to encourage you with this morning is, won't you trust him with it anyway? Won't you raise your hand and say, God, I don't see a way. I don't understand what the next level could even look like for me or for my family or for my future. But today, I trust that you are able. And I want to go to the next level for Christ. I want to go to the next level for the Lord. Heads are bowed this morning.